On a dark Thursday afternoon and evening last December, I would have echoed Habakkuk's lament. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. It's something that I never thought that I would feel as I entered Advent previously, because Advent has long been my favorite liturgical season. This four-week period that we begin today as we prepare for the coming of Christmas holds a special place in my heart. I love starting the season acknowledging the darkness that we are in, that life isn't always easy, and it's often full of pain. Yet there is this bold glow from one candle on our Advent wreath, signifying that God does not abandon us in the darkness. I love that we mark the time by lighting another candle, and then another candle, and another candle, week after week, recognizing the hope of the coming Christ child. And as we get closer, that there is more light to push back the shadows of our world. I love the ways that we prepare in the rest of our lives, lights going up on houses and trees around the neighborhood, each adding their own light to brighten the dark, thick night of December. I love the Christmas tree that adorns my living room, adding its own soft glow, while also reminding me of the years that have passed, the story of my history told by the ornaments hanging from its branches. Perhaps most of all, I love watching people around me begin to be kinder to one another, going to great lengths to help others or to smile as they pass by. This time of year always seems to bring out the best in so many of us. I love the season of Advent, and yet last year I dreaded it. What is often referred to as the season of hope seemed like anything but for me. All I could see was the darkness of grief and loss, the darkness of my first Advent, which I knew would lead to my first Christmas without my husband Brady. I dreaded having to preach about hope without being able to conjure any myself. No candles on the Advent wreath or twinkling lights on houses could seemingly banish the darkness away. And in those moments, I could sympathize with Habakkuk and the people that he spoke to. Like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah before him, Habakkuk was another prophet who spoke into a traumatic period of Israel's history. Not long before Habakkuk, the Assyrians had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and were threatening the southern kingdom of Judah. Not long after that, it was the Babylonians who conquered Jerusalem and took many of the Hebrew away into exile, ripping them from their families, their ability to worship God the way that they wanted, and the only home that they had ever known. Then, in 587 BCE, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. As they cast about the stones of the buildings, the Babylonians crushed any hope the people had of things returning to the way that they were. It's no wonder that Habakkuk would offer this lament to God. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. In the face of a lifetime of violence and destruction, of exile and separation, all this prophet can do is give voice to the pain and anguish the people are feeling. Oh Lord, how long? How long do we have to wait for things to change? I think it's a lament that we also offer. How long, O Lord, until we no longer have to deal with the curse of cancer, the agony of addiction? How long, O Lord, until all have a warm place to sleep at night and a full belly at least three times a day? How long, O Lord, until we no longer fear yet another mass shooting and people aren't dying in the streets? How long, O Lord, until suicide isn't a growing epidemic and depression and mental illness no longer has power over millions of people? How long until we feel more connected to one another, no longer feeling isolated or lonely? How long, O Lord? The world was not all right for the people of Israel and Judah, and the world is not all right for us either. Which is why I appreciate this seemingly unusual text to start Advent. Habakkuk gives voice to the darkness that surrounds us, the darkness of chaos and sin, the darkness of the forces that defy God, and the brokenness of our lives. The darkness of death. Habakkuk names it, acknowledges that it exists, and that sometimes God lets it be for a long time. And God is still present. The light is in the darkness, even when it cannot be seen. Then the Lord answered me, Habakkuk says, and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. It will surely come. God will come. Even if God's work can't be immediately seen. Habakkuk gives voice to the very thing that I had to learn last Advent. God will show up even when it seems like God is nowhere to be found. Sometimes we only need to wait. Waiting, it provides a wider view. It provides a greater perspective. Our view of the world is as if we are looking at a great painting made of billions of dots while only a foot away. We see the dots, but we can't make out the image until we back up and we have a wider view. This is what Habakkuk does for us. He helps us take that wider view. He reminds us that there are periods in our lives and in the world, in our history, in which terrible tragedy, war, and violence are ever present. Periods when God just doesn't seem to have any power or doesn't appear to be present at all. This was certainly true for Israel and Judah, and I think it sometimes is for us as well. Yet what Habakkuk also reminds us of is that violence and injustice do not have the final word. Not for the people of Jerusalem or the exiled Hebrew people, not for Nazi Germany or apartheid South Africa, and not for us either. Suicide and depression will not have the last word. Instead, God will. Cancer and chronic illness will not have the last word. Addiction does not get the final say. Grief and death do not get to speak to the end of it all. That right belongs only to God, the light and the life of the world. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the field yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. God is in the darkness, and God is coming, even if we cannot see it. Perhaps especially when we cannot see it. That is what we celebrate this Advent.